Okay, today's daf is Daf Tzadik Tes. I'm continuing to broadcast to you here from the hospital, so once again, please forgive me if there's interruptions, as there have been for the past couple of dapim, and if I seem to lose my trend because I'm having a hard time reconnecting to what I had said by the time I got back. We start today a continuation of unusual cases we had where children were mixed when they were hiding out from the Nazis. And the question over here is the gabe the dinim of the suffix of chalitza or yibum that have to be done by various brothers that may be brothers, may not be brothers. Today, the brayta wants to point out that we come up with some interesting cases where we had these doubts. For instance, yesh chalitza l'imo misafek, l'achoto misafek, l'bito misafek. We can even have cases based on the mixture of children, where someone may have to do chalitza to a woman who might be his own mother, might not be, or might be his own sister, might not be, or might be his own daughter, and might not be, even though you would think that these three examples are obvious examples of the Chamesh Shrei Noshim that are Pturis B'chalitza B'yibum back in the beginning of the Masechta, but nonetheless, here, because of the fact that they were mixed as infants while hiding, they may have to go ahead and do chalitza anyway. Let's take a look at some of these cases. Ketzad, for instance, you have now the mother of the guy who is doing chalitza here, and another woman, both of whom had a son of their own, the chosv yodu, and now these same two women also have sons, while they are hiding out from the Nazis. So they have Shnei Zecharim and Machabe who get mixed up. And now we don't know which one is Rachel's sons, which one is Chana's son. Okay. Now, the husbands of Chana and Rachel, they die. And now Yosef, let's say, who was the son of Rachel, he has to come now. Uba b'nasha zo, v'nasa imoshal ze. What happened over here is the case is that the son of one went ahead and married the mother of the other. And now the other one, son again, the Vadai sons, they know exactly who their mother is. They went ahead and they married the opposite woman who is a mother. Now these two sons, we called yesterday Yosef and Chetzron, these two sons die, and they leave no children. So now the two women require Yibum, or chalitza, from the two children that are mixed, but they don't know which child is which. So in that case, one of the ta'arovet is the brother of the husband of one, brother from the father, one of the ta'arovets is the brother of the husband of the other, but they don't know which is which. Therefore, zecholetz ishtayem, zecholetz ishtayem, so each one has to do chalitza to both, despite the fact that that way each one is giving chalitza to his mother, perhaps. So it's cholitz l'imo misafek. We also have the same situation of l'achoto misafek case. Well, there the case would be as follows. We have, let's say, Rachel, mother of one of these, of Reuven, as we said yesterday. And the grandfather is Yaakov. Okay? After now, Yaakov dies. So she goes in and she gets married to somebody else. And after, now, the mother of Reuven gets married to somebody else, this mother of Reuven, together with Isha Acheret, so Imo, this mother of Reuven and another woman, she yoldu shtei nekevot b'machamet. They had two daughters now while hiding out who now got mixed up, which means that one of the staruvas is the sister of Reuven from the same mother. And now, ubo achehem, the two brothers of Reuven, who are not shalom yotahem, who are not related from the same mother, went ahead v'nisa'u. So the brothers went ahead now and married the two sisters who were born in this machaveh, because after all, they're not married, they're not related at all to either one of them, since they are brothers to Reuven from the father, and Reuven now is the brother of one of the Taruvas from a common mother, but the other ones are not. And so, what happens is now, Umeitu. Now the husbands of the mixture now die below banim, and now the women require yibum or chalitza from Reuven, who is a brother from the father. The problem is that Reuven, of course, can't be miyabing them, because one of them is his sister from a mother. But without chalitza, these women are never able, going to be married to anybody, because one of them is not the sister. So therefore, Reuven has to do chalitza to both of them, chalitza shteihem, because otherwise they will remain asuras forever. Nimtza chalitza, chotom misafek. So what he's doing, basically, is giving chalitza to a woman who may well be his sister. We also have a case of libita misafek. We can also have a case where a man would give chalitza to his daughter, mitzad asafek case. So what would be the case there? Ishta, let's say Reuven's wife and another woman, Isha Acheres. Now they go ahead and they have two daughters, B'machabe. They're hiding out, Bo Achehem. And now the two brothers of Reuven, of his father, went and they married these two sisters who were born in the Machabe, to whom they're not related, and then they die without sons. So now they're women. Now so these two women both require chalitz in order to ever be able to get married from this one guy, Reuven, who may indeed be doing chalitz to his daughter. Nonetheless, Zed, this fellow Reuven, has to do chalitz to both. And it's chalitz b'tom misafek. So in this case, or if it would be the other brothers, and let's call him Kolev, the two brothers of Kolev would have married a Taruvus, and then he would have to do chalitza to both of them. In which case, turns out that he's going to go ahead down the Zeh, chalitza bito, misafek. Each one of them is giving chalitza to his daughter, mitzad asafek. Tanya, haya Rabbi Meir Aymer, ish v'isha, v'amim shemolidim chameshumot. You could have one man, and when one woman, and it is conceivable to construct a case in which they will have five children. Each one of them has a completely different din, legabi their yichus, of where they come from. Ketzat. Let's start this off. A Jew buys, Yisrael shalakach eved v'shivcha. A Jew buys an eved and a shivcha kanani min hashuk, just off of the street, the slave market. Now this eved and shivcha, v'lahin shnei banim, they have two children. Okay, now these children, these were born before they had been bought as avodim, so they don't have a din of avodim, they have a din of regular akum, whatever nation they came from, and they're called goyim. Now, one of these children, nudgayer achad meim, one of them becomes Jew, and that one becomes a full Jew. So nimtza, so it turns out that up until this point, the Evan and a Shivcha have a ben, who one of which, Echad, is a ger, and a ben, one of which, Echad, who is an avikachov. Now, the master who bought them is now, he debilan, the master goes ahead and he's matbil, the evan and shivcha, the shem avdut. At this point, they become now avde Yisrael. When iskekula zelaze, they now sleep with each other and produce another child. Now, this child is now an evet knani, just like his parents are. It means that these parents have now produced a ger, a goy, and an eved. The master now goes ahead and shichret ha-shivcha. By freeing the shivcha, she now becomes a full Jew. Now the eved, bo'alea eved, now the same man, who's still an eved, sleeps with her. But since she's a Jewess, and he's an eved, abo abas Yisrael, the Vlad is mamzer, at least according to this Mamni Omar, Harekan, so that means up until this time we have a ger, one child a ger, one child an eved kuchovim, one child an eved, and one child a mamzer. Now, if afterwards shichrer, the Adon goes ahead down as shichrer shnehem, which he now adds, he's already been meshachra, the shivcha, he now is meshachra also the eved, so now both of them are shichrerim, therefore they're regular Jews. V'hisi'an, and now he marries them to each other. That obviously doesn't mean literally he marries them, they're no longer his, but it's just saying, you know, nice guy. He went ahead and makes a nice chasana for them. Now they're a regular Jewish couple. And now they have another son. This son, of course, is a regular Yisrael. So, Reh Kan, we have here one couple who has produced a ger, an Ovid Kechavim, an Eved, a Mamzer, and Yisrael. Very cute. It's very cute, says the Gemara, but, I mean, are we into just cuteness? My Kamash Malan. Well, the Chiddush would be that Ovid Kechavim v'Eved, Alba, Bat Yisrael, Havlan Mamzer. So, even though we have a machlokas about whether this is true between Rabbi Akiva and Yishmael, comes along now Rabbi Meir to teach us that the halacha is that Havlan Mamzer. Tan Rabbana, Yesh Mocheret Aviv, Nehagbot Imo Ktuvata. A strange case also, once we're into the strange cases, in which a person can sell his own father as an Eved in order to collect his mother's Ksufa. How is this? Kesa. Yisrael Lakach Eved V'Shifcha Min Ashuk. Once again, we talk about a Jew who purchases a pair of Avadim, V'Lehem Ben. Now these two have a child, and the child was not purchased by the master. He does not have a din of an Eved, he's a regular guy. Now, Shechrer et HaShifcha. The master now goes ahead, and he frees the Shifcha, and he marries her himself in Asa'a. V'amad v'katav kol nechasav livna. He gives his own property as a gift to his newfound wife's child. This woman, who was a Shivcha, and of course included in all of his possessions, is his own Eved, who is the father of the one who's getting this gift. Now, the master dies and owes his wife her ketuva, as every other Jew does, when he does not have enough in his property to pay her ketuva. So what happens is, Nimtza Zeh, the child of the Eved, now is Mocheret Aviv, being as he owns his father, who is an Eved, he sells his father now on the slave market, Lagvot Limo Ktuvata. In order for his mother to be able to get her Ktuva, he, who is the owner now of the Eved on whom there was a lien, sells the Eved, who happens to be his father. Maika Mashmalan, it's a cute case, but once again, are we into cuteness, or is there a chiddush here? Well, this braita is a continuation of the previous braita, and it comes to teach us that Kula Rebbe Meir, this whole thing that we said, including the earlier piece, is all part of Rebbe Meir, that's Tanya Hoya Rebbe Meir Aymer. The Avda is Metaltali, and Metaltali Mishabdi Leksuva. Now, it comes to teach us that even though an Eved is considered to be mitaltalim, and now this doesn't mean that we're arguing on the overall famous hekesh that avodim are similar to karkaot, which we learn out from which everybody understands that avodim are compared to karkaot. The question over here is in terms of the gviya v'ktuva, in terms of collection of ktuva, there's some who hold that a woman is not reliant upon things that are, even though technically karka, but are actually chattel, in the sense they could disappear at any moment, they can run away, they can be sold, and so on. Or they can die for that matter. So therefore, the chachomim indeed hold that such a thing is not considered to be meshubet l'ksuva as a karka, even though it's compared to karka, because it's dependent on what the das was of those who made the transaction. The woman has certainly not sumechet on this eved. Those who argue that, we'll see in a moment, that those who argue that since it has a din of a karka, so mamela is meshubet, whether or not she necessarily thinks this out, but she is sumechet on all karka. So one shot, therefore, might be that an Eved, even though he's metaltalim in terms of the woman's das, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir holds that metaltali are mishtabdi l'ksuva, and that a woman can collect her ktuba from metaltalim, and therefore can collect her ktuba from the metaltalim, in this case, which is the Eved. Tosis explains
that actually this halacha is that she can only collect metaltalim from her husband itself, or from a yovan. But from Yesemim, Rabbi Meir would be made of them. Metaltalim do not have a shibud. The reason over here that we would be geiver from an eved is because over here it's considered to be a gift of the father. And the assumption is it's talking about the father who was already dying, which gets it to Matnas Shchiv Merah. But Matnas Shchiv Merah does not have the same halacha, not have the same power in terms of liens, and therefore you could go ahead and you can be Golda. This is Tosis Shchad. There are other Pshatim as well. One is that the Ritva's Pshat, that his father had originally given a gift on condition that the mother shouldn't lose out from this gift and so on. But in any event, this is one approach to the way to understand the Braita. V'yibayitem, or we could say Kamashmon, that Adarab, the Tan of the Braita is Dafka teaching us that since Avodim have a din of Karkas, even the Gabi Gviya from the Ksuva, they directly are Nigva, Avdek Mekarke Domi, and therefore the woman collects it because Karka Ot, of course, are Mishul Badotu Ktuva from the Iker Hadin. Zokte Eilek Mishnah Ha'isha. Now we have over here a woman and her daughter-in-law, and they were both hiding out from the Nazis in Nita Arev Vlada Bevlat Kalata. Continuing on now, the cases of the hiding out from the Nazis. So now she and her daughter-in-law are hiding. The two of them have children and mix up the infants. Higdilu ataharovet. And now the two children, and we're not sure whose children they are, grow up and marry. Venasu nashim, and then they die without leaving any children. So now these two women require yibum from their husband's brothers, of course. Now, the problem is, one of them is the son of one of the mother, and one of them is the son of the daughter-in-law. So they don't know which one of their families is supposed to be Yavin. Therefore, the known Bnei HaKala, who are the husbands, who are the brother of the husbands of one of these women, they do chalitza to both of these women, but of course they can't do yibum, v'lo miyabim, because, after all, shehu, this yibum over here, it may be a mitzvah, but it may also be an issur kares. Because it's a suffolk, if this yovan is an eshet achiv, which is great, but unfortunately it's a suffolk also if he is eshet achiv aviv. He may be an issur kares, and that is if the case over here was that the woman that he's going to be miyabim is actually the wife of the son of this woman. So then the problem is that he is not allowed to he's going to be over on the Isser of marrying the wife of his father's brother. And therefore, because of this suffix, he's only allowed to do chalitza to the children of the Kala, and he cannot do yibum. But the brothers of the older lady, of the mother, they can do either chalitza or yibum, because over here they would be allowed to be miyabe mamonav shach. Because look, on one hand it's a suffocation tachiv, in which case the yibum is the mitzvah, right? So it may well be that she is the wife of the son of this zekena. So he's really being mekayim mitzvah yibum. This was his brother's wife. But even according to the other side of the suffix, that she is the wife of the son of the daughter-in-law, there's no iser on him taking her as a wife once there was chalitza done by the Bnei HaKala, because then she would be the wife of the son of his sister, of his brother. And an eshet ben achiv, which is the other side of the suffix, is mutarasot. So it's just a suffocation of eshet ben achiv. There is no iser on her to marry him, and therefore the children now of the Zekena can be miyabim if they wish, as long as the Bnei HaKala do chalitza first. Okay, continues now the Mishnah. And this is now the same case, the children got mixed up, and here the Vadai brothers went ahead and got married, and now Metu HaKsherim, now later on the Gemara is going to say Ksherim is a strange lush, and what it really means is the ones that are Vadaim, they died, and now their children require the wives of their children
require, I mean, their wives rather require Yibum. And now the question is, who is going to do Yibum? Because all that we have is the Taruvos. So now the Taruvos, and we don't know whose child they are, they now have to treat Livnei Azikinan. What they have to do is to the daughter, to the sons rather, of the, let's say the ones who died over here, Rebnei Azikina, the mother's sons, okay? So then if it's their wives that require Yibum, they can do Chalitza and not Yibum, because it's a suffix over here, Mishum, it's a suffix to the Taruvas. They may indeed have a Chiyuv. So that may be it's a suffocatious achiv, which would be great, but that would be on the tzad, that this brother is himself also a ben azikina. And then, of course, would be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, but he may also now be taking eshet achi aviv, if he, in fact, was really the child of the kala. And eshet achi aviv is asura. She is an erva, and therefore we need to do a chalitza. So it's a suffix, eshet achiv, eshet achi aviv. But if we're talking about over here the Kala's sons who died, and they were the ones who left now a woman to do Yibum for, in this case, one of the Bnei HaTa'arovet, Echad Choleitz, one does Chalitza first to the Eshes HaMeis. The Eshes HaMeis over here is definitely the child of the Kala. The Echad Miyaben, after one of them does Chalitza, now there's no problem of Yivam Lashok. So now, he, the other one, can go ahead and do Yibum, because we're Monoshok. If he himself is the Ben HaKalas, then he's doing the mitzvah of Yibum. And even if he is really the son of the mother, instead of the daughter-in-law, she is allowed to marry him, because all she is to him is the wife of the son of his brother. And there is also no Yisr of Yibum Lashok, and therefore, what's the problem? Continues the mission, now talking about mixtures. Okay, suppose now we have a Kohenet, Shinitarev Lada Bivat Shivchata. Here we had two women that were in hiding. One of them was owned by the other one. So you have a wife of a Kohen, and she now is hiding together with her own maid. Both of them were pregnant, they have children, the children get mixed up. This is the prince and the pauper here. We don't know who's who. And what do we do now? Both of these children are certainly allowed to eat truma, because whether he's a kohen or whether he's the evident kohen, he's allowed to eat truma. V'cholkim chelek echad bagoren, and later on the Gemara is going to explain that the meaning of chelek echad is chelek ke'echad. They both have to be there at the time of the chalukah in order not to get confused, because the halacha is we don't give an evet truma unless the rav is with them, and we don't want people thinking that a suffix evet over here may actually be the Kohen, and the Einan, Metamim Lameitim, they have to be careful not to be Metamim Lameis, unless, of course, it's one of the Krovim that they have a mitzvah, in which case, Mamonoshach, I mean, you know, even if they are Kohenim, they would be allowed to be Metamim. But since they're Suffolk Kohen, they can't stop being Metamim to a friend. Einan Nosim Nashim, they're never allowed to get married. They can't marry Ksherot, they can't marry regular Yisraeliot. And they can't marry Ben Psulot. They can't marry a woman who would be mutter for an Eved. The Ksheros are Aser, because maybe he's an Eved. An Eved's not allowed to be Baal Bas Yisrael. The Psulas are Aser, because maybe he's a Kohen. The Kohen is Aser in an Isha Psula. So now, Higdilu HaTa'arovet V'Shichru Zezer. We're going to see later on that when they get old enough, then they both give a get shichrur to the other. In other words, they say, if I am the Adon, I hereby do free you. And the other one says, if I am the Adon, I hereby do free you. Because at least this way, they're able to get married. So at that point, they both can get married. But of course, they have to get married l'chumra. And they can only be nosim noshim ruhudot the kuhuna. Since each one of them, even though he was freed, is certainly not an eved, but he may still be a kohen. And since he may still be a kohen, he needs to marry a woman who's real a kohen. He can't marry a grusha, chalutz, and so on. Ve'inan mitamim lamitim, they still have to be machmer on themselves, not be mitamim to a meis, ve'im nitamu, and if they did, we can't punish them because we're not sure. It's a fake, we don't know whether they're going or not. Ve'inan ochlim b'truma, they're not allowed to eat truma anymore because At this point, once you got to get shichur, we can't say mamana shachini truma because either you're a kohen or an evan or kohen, because you may be, in fact, a non-kohen ger. V'imachlu. However, if they went out and ate truma, mashamim kerem v'chomesh, since each one can say, I am a kohen, the din is amotzi b'chaver alavarai, and nobody can force them to pay the kerem v'chomesh, which normally can be forced on them by the kohanim. V'einam chokim alagorem. And even now, if both of them will come together, so that there's vada one kohen now here, we do not give them a chalukah of truma in public at the goren, because they're not allowed to eat truma. And memela, we're chayish over here for the takala. And the Tosus explains it so that it would be whether it's in public or private, according to this pshat. And because it's a takola, even though lamaisa, they do have a right, miikra din, to collect the truma and to sell it, and then to split the money and so on, but we don't give it to them. And mochrim esa truma. Now they who have their own truma, of course, they don't have to give it to a kohen because they can say, okay, look, each one of us says maybe we're a kohen. So they can sell it to a kohen even though they're not allowed to eat it, they keep the money, because again, amotzi mechaviro, olavaraya. Ve'enon chokim b'kotshe hamigdash. Of course, they are not given things from the Beis HaMikdash that are normally given to kohanim, like the Eires of behemoths over there that are given out to kohen because they're a Safek Yisrael. Ve'notim lehem kodashim. We also do not give them b'chayres and charonim and things like that that are normally given to kohanim. Ve'en motzim shalem yedayim. However, they have charonim that they were machrim to the Beis HaMikdash, which goes to the kohanim usually, or they have b'chayres. We can't force them to give it to other kohanim because maybe they're a kohanim. And again, a motz mechaver ol avaraya. Upturim min azor min achalayim min alechayayim min akeva. The matanos that are taken from the behemoths of chulin that are generally given to kohanim, they don't have to give because each one can say, maybe I'm a kohen. And once again, a motz mechaver ol avaraya. These are things that do not aser the behemoth. They're not given away, so therefore there's not a problem and they're keeping him. What about a bechor, however? A bechor, they're not allowed to eat. It's only mutter for the kohen if it's a tam. Indeed. So the bechor, what we do is each one of them has a bechor. Yeroa achis ta'ev. Let that bechor roam around until it finally bumps itself and gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, it's mutter even to zarim. And if it's mutter to zarim, even though it's supposed to, it belongs to the kohen, but then we get to the problem of mutzvah of araya. That's not an issue, therefore, over here. The ownership, and they're allowed to eat it. Now we also, we're going to see that what this is referring to is that when they're coming to bring a korban mincha, and a korban mincha is very different for a Yisrael and a kohen. A korban mincha of a kohen is brought entirely up to the mizbeach, and a korban mincha of a Yisrael, the kometz is brought and the shirayim are eaten. So over here we give them the chumrah of both kohenim and the chumrah of Yisrael. So we take the kometzah from the mincha as if they're Yisraelim and bring it up on the mizbeach. And the shirayim are not allowed to be eaten like a minchas Yisroel. We have to burn them entirely like a minchas kayanim. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, but how can we do that? And we'd be bringing up something that's also to bring on the mizbeach, if lamaisa their shirayim. Says the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah over here, metu haksherim. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, it's obviously a reference to the ones that we know, the vadoyim. And why are we calling them ksherim? Does that imply alahanach mishum diyarov eluhu havelu psulim? What's it? Because we don't know whose child they are, the mother or the daughter-in-law, is because of that you call them psulim? I'm not psulim. Amar of Papa, ema metu havadaim. What it should say is the ones that are known died. That's the point. Okay, lemaisa, there is a remez here, as we saw earlier, that the Shechina is only Sheira on people who are miyuchasim b'Yisrael, and if indeed they don't know where they come from, then we have a problem. This is a small element of hidden psul that's here, which is why the Tana used the word ksherim, but of course he doesn't want to literally say this. So again, it really means meitu avadoi. Okay, then we said levnei akalai echad choleitz vechad miyabem, and obvious this means dafka michlas in this order. You need chalitza first from the one, and then the other one could be miyabim, but you can't be miyabim first, because if it's the wrong guy, he's pagabi avam alashuk. Yeah, then the other one has not yet removed the zika from him. So how can he possibly go ahead and be miyabim mitzad asafek if she may be an iser yavam alashuk? The next piece in the Mishnah was kohenes shinitarev vlada bevlad shivchata. So now we have a kohenes, and we've got also an evad over here, and it says in the Mishnah, the chelek echad begarin.
Ask the Gemara, you're saying chelek echad. I mean, what is the other tzad? Isn't that obvious? I mean, pshita, they're only chelek echad. Okay, Rashi has another girsa, which is chelek echad sakadaitach, because it's mashma, as the Maram explains, that each one of them gets chelek echad. Okay, but either way, it's the same question. I mean, why would we think that they're allowed to get two completely separate chalokim, since there's only one kohen here who has to feed his evet from his truma? Why would we think otherwise? Ema, says the Gemara, we read that as actually chelek ke'echa. They have to both be there at the same time. We will not give one without the other present. And the reason is, because it's none, k'man diyomar, the Tan of our Mishnah is basically teaching us, the halacha, like the man diyomar, holds, ein chokin truma le'evet elin ken rabo imo. We cannot give truma to an evet. And therefore, since over here we may well be dealing with an evet, we have to wait until the Rav is here. So each one of them is a Suffolk Evet, so the other one becomes the Rav, so to speak, to this Suffolk Evet, the Tanya. As the Bryce explains, Ein chokin truma le'evet elin ken rabo imo divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds indeed like this. In Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, even if one comes alone, Yochoshi Omar, he can say, look, I understand, what is the problem over here? You don't want to give me? In Kohen, ani, tenu li b'shvil atzmi, look, I may be a Kohen, and in that case, I certainly get a right, okay? In Evet Kohen, ani, and if I'm the Evet, tenu li b'shvil Rabbi, so then I'm allowed to get it, I'm collecting now for my master, and let him worry about it. What then is the basis of this machlokas? The basis is that b'mekomosh Rabbi Yehuda, hayu ma'ali mitruma liyuchasin. In Rabbi Yehuda's area, they would, if they saw a person who was taking truma, then the assumption was that he was known to be a Kohen, and therefore, in terms of marriage issues and so on, he was assumed to be a Kohen kosher. Because of that, Rabbi Yehuda said, we must be makpin not to give an Evet truma unless the rabbi is there, because people may think that the Evet is a Kohen kosher. But they did not view the collection of truma as really being a riot that the person is a Kohen, and therefore there was no chash, and indeed he could say, either I'm a Kohen, or a Kohen, and therefore I deserve to be able to take the truma from you. In my whole lifetime, I only said one edut, and because of my ridiculous edut, they went ahead and they made an evet a Kohen. Come on, you can't mean that that really happened. Now, the next piece Tosa says can't possibly be the correct Girsa. Because the next piece reads, we know the famous Maisa of the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yoyer. We're over here, there, the Ganovim who stole the Chamor were trying to feed the Chamor Tevel. And I'm getting confused with Chanina Ben Isa. The people of the inn were trying to feed the chamor of Pinchas Ben Yoyer Tevel, and it refused to eat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved it from eating Tevel, and we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is careful not to bring a takolig on the enter shel tzadikim, so tzadikim atzman or kol shikate. How is it possible that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik should have caught such takola? Tosfos says that this can't be the correct Girsa, because in many places Tosfos proves that this halacha, is only said on the goof of the person himself, like from Acholas Asura. It's not that what he did or through what he said that something bad can't happen. There's many riyas that it could. And therefore, Tosfos just learns that is it possible they really did it? In the end, they discovered the problem before they actually went ahead and made an evet a Kohen, but you see how careful you have to be. What exactly was the Maisa that almost caused an evet to become a Kohen with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik was Chaza, he had seen now an evet that took Truma in a Goren, all on his own, Ba'atid Rabbi Yossi, and he was in Rabbi Yossi's location. That over there, they give evet to a Truma without the Rabbah with him. Okay? Fine. He went, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, not realizing the difference in the places, and he gave his edus over in the area of Rabbi Yehuda, where over there, of course, they were ma'ali mitruma liyuchsin, and he said, well, I saw this evet taking truma alone in the garden, and they immediately assumed that this evet was a coin. And then they discovered that he had seen it in the area of Rabbi Yossi, and it didn't prove anything. Tan rabbanan, asarim chekalim truma bebeis agronais ve'elohim.
we have 10 people that we can't give truma to in the Beis HaGronos, and they are as follows. A cheresh, a kohen was a cheresh, or a shaita, or a katan, or a tumtum, or an androgynous, or he is the eved, an eved knani of a kohen, or Aisha, the wife of a kohen, or Ha'arel, a kohen who wasn't able to get a bris mila because his brothers had died because of mila, so he's an ones. Ratameh, kohen who was tameh, or nanosi shen, or geneslo, kohen who wasn't makbet to marry a kosher woman, he went ahead and married a grusha, or a chalutza, v'chulan. Even though the Maisa, on all these cases, we don't give them a chelek negorin, but mishagrim lem levatehem, we will send them in private. We will send them a gift of truma, except two of the cases. Let's be tamei, because we don't want the guy who is tamei to be getting the truma because he wasn't careful not to become tamei. And certainly chutz from an osa isha shenu agenes, or a guy who was over in Isser and wasn't makbet on his kahuna, we give a kanast and we don't give him truma. And what is the reason for all of these cases? So Bishlema, Cheresh, Shaita, V'Katan, I understand. It's obvious why we wouldn't give them a chelek in a garden, because a lot b'nei deyaninu, since they are not b'nei deya, so it's a zilzol for truma to give it over to people who may not be careful with it, and so on, and that's, we don't do things that treat truma without the correct chashivut. And the tumtum androgynous, it's also clear why it is we wouldn't want to give a tumtum androgynous, because the tumtum androgynous are bria bifnei atzmen, you know, they're weird, they're different, and people are talking about it. And it's, again, it's a bizoin for the truma to give them truma in public. Eved nami, because dimati l'suike mitruma l'yuchsin. We're afraid of the problem if he's on his own that people will view him as a kohen. Oral v'tomei, we can't give them truma from the me'isei, and oral is mos because of his orla. The tomei is mos because of his truma, and it's not really, he wasn't careful, it's not really to give him publicly truma. And also, a no se ishesh eno egenes, like that's a knas, and we won't give it to him at all. But I understand, why don't we give an isha, my time alone? Why won't we give a woman truma publicly in the garden? We're afraid that maybe her husband, the kohen, will give her a get one day, and before people know that she was divorced, she will come, and they'll give her, thinking that she's an ashes kohen, even though she no longer is. And the others say, because since when she comes out to the Beis HaGoren, where normally there's not like a lot of people there, so she ends up being in yichud with the owner of the goren, and therefore, we don't like the idea of having the woman going out the goren. We will not give her in the goren, and we send her to her house. My b'nai, what's an afkamina community between these two approaches? There's two possibilities. One possibility of a difference would be where you've got a goren that is right by the city. But nonetheless, it's a place where it's not a very busy goren. Most people don't come there. So, because of the Svar Shamika Shana Bala, there we know, since it's right next to the city, everybody knows when a woman is Megoresh, she'll hear about it right away. But in the terms of the problem of maybe she'll be Mityache there, you have to worry because it's a Goren that is a private and people don't use. Or the opposite case, the Mirchak, we could be talking about every Goren that is far away from the city, and therefore they will not get the news of her divorce right away. Vishkicha Bainship, but there's a lot of farmers in the area that will use this Goren, and therefore we don't have to be Chayish. That he's going to be alone, but we do have to be chayish that they won't know about it. The kula mishagrim lem levatehen. We do, however, send it to their homes. We said chutz b'tomei v'nosei shash eno genes lo. Aval, you'll notice that these are the only two cases. Aval oral mishagrim yale. We do send an oral to truma. My time of why is that mishum da onis? Because obviously it's not his fault. He was talking about over here. He's an oral that wasn't mal because meisu echav machmas mila. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Tomei Nami Onis. So why don't we say that Tomei is Onis also, and there shouldn't be a problem of his being a Mos because of his Truma. Why don't we send him the Truma to his house? Answers the Gemara, hi, Nafi shouldn't say. The Oral, that's a very serious Onis. There's nothing they could possibly do. But the Tomei is, you could call him Onis, but Lamaisa, he was insufficiently careful. Certainly possible, if you're very careful. To not fall into a position where you become tummy. And lo nafish unse, it's not a tremendous onus, and over there, we give him, don't send him a